This episode of EduTech Guys was recorded live at FETC 2024. Background noise, clanking dishes, and more. Enjoy the show. Today's episode is brought to you by eLuma, an end-to-end student services solution providing support from student mental health to special education to staffing shortages. With over a decade of experience, eLuma addresses intervention needs and supports school-wide wellness. eLuma's reliable provider network and innovative Insight software ensure that no student falls through the cracks, enhancing outcomes and easing staff burnout. With eLuma, you'll harness the power of effective teletherapy with a customizable one-stop MTSS solution. Visit eLuma.com.
Hey, welcome back to FETC 2024. Excited to have our next guest in the seat. We're going to let him introduce himself, tell us who he is, what he does, and all that kind of good stuff. So here we go.
Thanks for letting me be here with you. My name is Jeremy Glauser. I'm the founder and CEO of eLuma.
So let's talk, you know, you guys had a great press release, just, you know, like all the good stuff coming out. So let's talk about here now, what's the big push here at FETC?
I think FETC is the perfect place to show that eLuma is not just a service, but it's a tech-enabled service. And combining technology and humans is really how we're going to help solve a big challenge for mental health in schools. A lot of people know us as a teletherapy solution for IEP-based services, mm-hmm. or a Tier 3 solution. Mm-hmm. And over the past 4 years, we've expanded our services to Tier 1, 2, and 3 so that we can be an end-to-end solution for mental health.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for our listeners who have no idea what you're talking about in terms of tiers, mm-hmm. talk about what are the different tiers and how does eLuma fit within those tiers?
I'll spare you the entire history, but if you know RTI, is a great model for reading and math intervention. Mm-hmm. MTSS is a framework like that, but expanded for inclusion of SEL and academics and behavior. So MTSS is a great framework for schools to build around, mm-hmm. so that they can universally at Tier 1 address needs, Tier 2 on a targeted basis, and then Tier 3 on an individualized mm-hmm. basis.
So yeah, moving forward, when we say MTS, and we'll hear that a lot in this talk, MTSS, it's multi-tiered support services?
Multi-tiered system of support.
System support, awesome. We're going to get that. Always got to get our acronyms right.
There are a lot of them.
It's education, but everything's an acronym.
It's better than saying that whole mouthful.
That's true.
That's really true. So let's talk about that, and you know, there's so much to encapsulate here. Let's talk about Insight first. Let's talk about where it's taking what you're offering here. It's not just about one specific thing. We're now going to hit broad services at this point.
Yeah, Insight is eLuma's proprietary platform, mm-hmm. and it's built to power the therapy that happens remotely. Imagine a really high quality therapist or provider sitting at their home office on the computer connecting with a student live through video conferencing. Mm-hmm. Insight powers the case logs, the progress monitoring, the goal tracking, the tie to efficacy and student outcomes that are all a result of these awesome providers helping intervene with these kids who need it most.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about in the classroom for the teacher. Where do they come into play? The educator, you know, and that's been a big thing. And Dave and I were talking about the retention capabilities here and speak to that also. But let's talk about what it provides for the educator, you know, to handle this now and get a quicker response for that student, and how it's gonna make their job and anxiety in the position better.
Yeah, anxiety is the key word because educators are overloaded, and mm-hmm. I think that's the common theme across it all.
Yeah.
And our job is to alleviate that burden, build capacity, and make things more fluid, because there is a real concern that an educator might make a mistake or they don't know quite what to do. And we don't want them to feel that way. Mm-hmm. We want them to feel like there is a system that they can lean on that can support them. So their involvement is gonna vary from Tier 1, which is universal, to Tier 2, targeted, or Tier 3, individualized. By the time it's individualized or it's even an IEP, the educator is involved, but really you've got a team who is now assembling to help that student. And then at a Tier 2 level, a lot of what we do is group or individual counseling live with the kids, either, you know, over a small period of a few weeks or a few months. And then really Tier 1 is where we try to co-lead with the teacher more. So imagine our recent partnership with Aperture allows us to administer a social and emotional competency screener. And then we identify kids who need additional help. And so that might result in a co-led lesson with the teacher, or maybe a referral. And our team supports at each of these points along that continuum.
And so the students that come into the system, do they? You talked about referral, so obviously teachers, administrators, other professionals at the district can refer students. Can students self-refer? If you get a student who recognizes, hey, you know, something just feels off with me, you know, I'd like to, you know, get some help.
Yeah, most schools have a process for a referral of a student who needs additional support.
Okay.
So if we think of math or reading, there's a very well thought out and established process to intervene. And we're trying to help them do the same with mental health and behavioral health.
Sure.
So we work with the school within their foundation, because a lot of schools have a great foundation. And we're not saying we want to come and reinvent. We want to take what they're great at and we want to build on it, and we want to help them do what they don't have the capacity to do. So yeah, teachers, administrators, family members, they can all refer. And then it's up to whether it's the PLC, the professional learning community, or it's some other group within the school administration. But then a student would often go through the normal channels of the school as defined.
Gotcha.
Go to a counselor.
Sure.
And whether that's the counselor on staff with the school or it's our counselor, that's to be defined as we set this up and implement this with the school.
So as a student is getting help, okay, so they've been referred, they're in the system, they're getting some mental health, they're working with one of your counselors. Are they able to continually work with a particular counselor, or you know, is it kind of whoever they happen to get when they log in, or how does that work?
That's actually a really good, insightful question, because it's variable across the board. And I think this is the unique value that we've identified early on through student voice, through educator voice, through the school's voice. Because consistency when talking about mental health is really critical.
Mm-hmm.
Identifying the right counselor is a lot like dating. You gotta have vibes, you gotta get along, you gotta feel like you're heard. And so consistency really is important to ILUMA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a revolving door. It's a consistent person, barring any life events or attrition, because happens.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think you also touched on, you know, kind of building on your analogy of the dating situation. You know, it's very possible that you've got a student who doesn't seem to click with the counselor, and possibly vice versa. I don't know how that works from the counselor side, but let's just say it's a student who's like, I'm not really meshing with this person. They can themselves request and say, hey, I'd like to talk with somebody else. What does that look like?
It depends on the availability of counselors.
Okay.
It also depends on how many students we're servicing at ILUMA.
Sure.
So there are some limitations to that.
Sure.
But usually during the needs assessment, before we're setting up, we're asking those kinds of questions. The demographics of the school population, the socioeconomic, the geographical details, like these are important to us, and we're doing our very best to strive to match the right people. But even there's a need, and there's a lot of work that a lot of people are doing to help diversify the pipeline to provider so that we can represent these kids that we're serving.
Yeah, absolutely.
So beyond the needs readiness assessment, which I'm sure, you know, that's the onboarding.
Yeah.
But that's an ongoing process that just continues to go on and on. Let's talk about that, and then the training for the staff, the training for the caregivers. Can you get a little bit into that and what you guys provide, you know, moving through the whole process?
Yeah, we're continuing to build that out. And, you know, we have a long way to go at ILUMA, but I mean, also as a system. What we do today is we provide caregiver webinars, and the working with the school will identify when and how many. And then we also do staff professional development. And that's typically done by the same provider who is working with the kids. Continuity is really important, because we want people to be able to see who the provider is, build a relationship. That's oftentimes much better than trying to deliver it through other means.
Sure,
yeah,
I can
absolutely
see that. So one question I'd like to ask. So there's a reason you do this. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that personable part of it. So, success story, the thing that, you know, drives you every day and your coworkers and your employees and, you know, everyone you work with. Can you give us a little story there? You know, something you'd like to share about, you know, why school needs this and what you've seen happen and, you know, what difference it makes in an educational entity and for the students.
That's a great question. I think for me, what gets me up in the mornings, I've got 5 kids. Mm-hmm. They're all school aged. And I see the struggles that they have. Mm-hmm. But it's also personal to me. I was that kid in high school who had anxiety attacks, had to leave the classroom, and did not understand what anxiety was. And mine was manifest in just profuse sweating on my face, and it was visible. So I felt like, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And until I was in my early 20s, I didn't know that what I was dealing with was actually common and that there were ways to cope. Mm-hmm. So it's personal. I have my own kids, but at Iluma, we've just surpassed 48,000 kids that we've served. Wow. And I think about each and every one of those, maybe even being my own.
Right.
And hoping that they also have tools that I didn't have. And our goal is to really have a sincere impact and hopefully shape the mental health literacy, the access to care, the access to mental health tools that they need to be thriving in individuals.
Yeah, you know, that really speaks to the educator, because the educator needs to know they're more comfortable in class, and we will retain those educators when they know they have a tool that's readily available and they know how to use it.
And it, I agree.
That's the key. That's the key right there. We've been talking about that this, you know, for years, but especially now we're seeing that drop. And you know, I've been dealing, I'm almost 54, and the last 3 years I've had some my own dealings with anxiety. Never in my life before.
Wow.
But suddenly it started manifesting itself physically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, I'm 54, it's got to be something else. Well, no, it was just, you know, but once I, you know, understood what it was.
Yeah.
And that actually is interesting. What we're talking about is we're training these educators. They're going to be able to see it in their classroom, but they're going to be able to see it in themselves and get their self.
Absolutely.
You know, physician. And heal thyself.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, educators are another very important stakeholder in this. Mm-hmm. And often we talk about the students, but our educators need to have the same tools, because before they can educate these kids, they're looking at, are they fed? Do they have physical needs met? Addressing homelessness. That's a lot for educators to think about. Even if they're not personally addressing it, it's a weight to carry. And now there's this mental and behavioral health. And we got to look to them. And I think that's one of the areas that we're actively exploring too, is how can we have a meaningful impact on the staff so that they want to be there? They can have a full cup. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I told you, my anxiety issues, they haven't gone away. I still face them.
Yeah, we just
I just have better tools.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I do the things that I preach, and I do the things that I know are research backed. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole lifestyle that I've had to cultivate, and I have to keep cultivating, because I know through experience that when I let off, it comes back and it's not healthy for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same spot. I get that 110%.
Well, along these same lines, you know, one of your tenets is when you're working with a school about bringing Iluma in is teacher retention and keeping those teachers on staff. So when you are talking to school boards, school administrators, and you and we talk about kind of what we're talking about here, it still feels very, I don't know, kind of ethereal and loose. So how do you bring that down home?
Yeah, let's
bring
it home.
You know, how do you bring it home and say, this is how this affects teacher retention?
100%. I love that you brought that up, because we do tend to talk about the philosophy, the need, generally speaking. We see 41% of our educators leave the workforce within 5 years. Mm-hmm. That is estimated to be almost a $2.5 billion cost to taxpayers every single year.
Yeah.
So when we look at the rate of turnover alone, and then we look at why educators turnover. CEC is one organization among many who have done research into why educators leave. The number one reason is not pay. It is in the top five, but oftentimes the number one reason is a lack of resources and then not being able to do what they love to do because their lack of resources. Mm-hmm. And then pay is in there, right? Sure. We still have to pay our educators fairly.
Right.
I'm not saying we shouldn't. But when administrators are looking at this, they have to consider how to address the capacity issues that are stretching them thin so they don't become a statistic of 41% turnover and $2.5 billion.
Yeah.
So what does ILLUMA do? We come in and we take load off the teacher. We take load off the counselors. We build their capacity. And I mean, I know that a lot of people have fears of a hybrid workforce, but it's here to stay.
Yeah.
And we're helping schools across America spearhead an incredibly effective hybrid workforce.
Mm-hmm. So for that administrator that's going to ask, going to kind of revisit this a little bit more, onboarding time, how long does this take? If I want it right now, what am I looking at? What if, you know, when's this going to happen for my district?
Yeah, we encourage districts to think ahead because it never fares well when making a last minute decision, especially when human resources and talent are involved. So obviously springtime when budgeting, optimal time to look at this and look ahead. But typically it's 4 to 6 weeks. You know, in the fall when people are procrastinating and doing this out of reaction, it can be harder. And it could take maybe 8 weeks or it could take 10. We don't want that.
Right.
We want to be able to help schools proactively build this hybrid force. That's careful budgeting, that's forecasting, that's partnering together so that it is a really effective experience.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I like about, you know, again, we're talking about ideally.
Sure.
We don't live in the ideal world all the time.
I love talking about ideas.
But ideally, you know, you've got a district who is listening to this or, you know, has talked to you or, you know, found out about ILLUMA. They want to come on. They're like, okay, yeah, we'd like to talk about bringing this on in the spring. What I like about that approach is that you get some experience under your belt with using it before you hit that summer break. So that when you come back in the fall, you're not hit with one more new thing that now I've got to, you know, figure out how to incorporate this or, you know, even though it's meant as a resource to help, initially, especially at the beginning of a school year, you know, initially you've got all this other stress going on, so it can be perceived as, you know, one more thing.
Absolutely.
By having that taken care of ahead of time, by planning ahead, taking those steps, getting your feet wet with it, then when you come back in the fall, that resource is already there. So
exactly.
That's at least, again, ideally, theoretically, that's one less thing you have to worry about, and probably more, truth be told. You know, it's not just quote unquote, you know, mental health. There's
right.
There's so much that falls under that umbrella that's an entire scope of feelings and emotions and services and lessons. I mean, just everything involved with that is alleviated to whatever degree so that you don't have to deal with that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. If we try to do all things all at once, we often fail.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of our research has shown that the more we prove to our teams and our educators that something's going to stay, the adoption goes up. And one thing administrators love is when programs they implement are adopted, because that's a return on the investment. So starting early and planning long term increases the likelihood of adoption, especially over a long period. Mm-hmm. And that is a much higher return on the investment and the program adoption.
Yeah, that's one of the, and I'm sure this applies to education across the nation, but in Arkansas where we're based, one of the longest running jokes at this point is, in 2 years they'll change their mind. Because that's how, you know, they come in, there's a big push for something, it's implemented, they try it for about a year and a half, and then by the end of that year and a half, it seems to be dying out, and so somebody else comes in, or they run with something for 2 years, and just about the time everybody thinks they've got this down, you know, somebody somewhere comes in and goes, we're not going to do that anymore, let's do this. So, you know, it speaks directly to that. Just, you know, get it implemented, take the time, know that this is, that you're going to be in this for the long haul, and that this is here to help you as an educator, help you as a student, help you as a parent, as a community member, and It's as you spoke at the beginning, it's that human factor. It's all of us working together to raise us all up.
Yeah, and you just nailed on one of the headwinds that schools face. And a big reason we see that cycle of well, in 2 years it'll be gone is because grants inherently have limited time frames. Mm-hmm. And funding for mental health and behavioral health is currently in this grant cycle funding, and it's disconnected. And what I see as I work with the Kennedy Forum as an advisor, CEC on these policy advisory teams, is that policy and funding is going that direction. So my hope is that sometime in the near future, we're going to see a sustainable long-term source for mental health and behavioral health to take a preventative approach and the associated programming and mandates. So I really am optimistic that we are going to have a sustainable plan in place.
Mm-hmm. What I see with ELUMA is this, and you're exactly right, and we're going to use this word that we use all over the place, data. And we use data to say we need this grant longer, we need to sustain this, we need to do this. That's a person, that's a human being. And you know, when we get into mental health, we're talking about not just data, we're talking about a third grader, a sixth grader, a 10th grader. That's the real key right there, and that's what you're providing, you know, in real time, you know, for the people that need to see it at this point.
That's right.
That's right, point on, yeah.
Yeah, I know that it's hard to reduce this because I don't want to sound cold, but oftentimes we don't take enough attention to suicidal ideation, which is hockey stick since the advent of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs a community about $1 million for every suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the life of a child is worth indefinitely more than that.
Right.
But can we not invest some of that mm-hmm. in a preventative approach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, can we not help these kids? And talk therapy is not a panacea, because that's the beauty of a multi-tiered system of support. A tier one is meant to be universal. So hopefully we can get to the point where we're leaning on good mental health literacy through curriculum and content that can be delivered effectively to teachers and students, because if we put too much strain on these good counselors, we could find that they are a depleting resource
mm-hmm.
and that we've overused and abused. We got to take care of them.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that there's good longevity in talk therapy by diversifying upstream with preventative measures.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
My very first experience with 30 years ago when I started as a band director, I had a drummer who was suicidal thoughts and talked about it. And I called the counselors and they were like, well, we can schedule them in another class. You know, I mean, so finally I reached out to a friend from college and said, okay, what do I do? But you see how hard it was then to deal with it. But luckily now we've come so far.
Yep.
And now it can be handled, you know, by professionals immediately at this point. So, yeah, kudos.
We have come so far. And there are good programs doing a lot of good out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm hopeful that we will continue to see good progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, folks want to know more, want to find out about everything. What's the best way they can do that?
ELUMA.com is our website.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on all social media platforms. Come follow us. There's a link on our website. You can click on consultation, get in touch with us. We'd be happy to just talk and learn together, help you know what we can do, learn about what you're doing. But more than anything, we just want to see how we can help and partner for the long term.
Awesome. Jeremy, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks. This is awesome.
Yeah, man.
As we wrap up today's enlightening discussion, remember that ELUMA is here to help you navigate student mental health and special education challenges. ELUMA is your one-stop MTSS solution to address staffing shortages and burnout, gain confidence in IEP compliance, and support student mental and behavioral health. Plus, you'll gain a partner dedicated to your success. Don't let another day pass without the right support in place for your students. Visit eluma.com/tech to schedule your free consultation. That's eluma.com/tech. Together with ELUMA, let's brighten the paths of all students. Thanks for listening to this episode of EduTech Guys. Listen to other episodes at edutechguys.com.